guarantee that you would not be a burden to the state. So it took quite some time to get, until somebody committed themselves. And then you registered at the American Consulate and you were given a number. And when your number was up, you went to a different city in Germany where the consulate was to get your papers, your immigration papers, and your visa to the United States.
Okay. So how was your... Oh, you kind of mentioned that already.
So you went to... what city did you end up from? Munich?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how did you get your visa?
Do you want
to... Oh, yes.
No, we had our visa to come to the United States, and we were supposed to leave from Lisbon, Portugal. We couldn't get a visa to enter Portugal, so the visa to America expired. And by this time, it was the summer of 1941. And my father was not allowed to work, but my mother was drafted to work in a factory where they made the uniforms. And on a hot summer day coming home, she was stopped by three men. And her heart, if they had been Nazis, I wouldn't be sitting there. And it's sort of a miracle to me. There were the people who worked at the American consulate that was closed, and the personnel was on their way home to the States, and the airport is in Frankfurt. And out of all the hundreds or probably thousands of people that they had seen while the consulate was open, over the last, I don't know how many years, they remembered my mother. And they said, "What are you doing here?" And she explained, she says, "Well, the man tell, if I were you, I would leave tonight for Munich. There are people there who can help you get to Spain." She says, "Well, we don't have a visa for Spain." They said, "We can get somebody to help you get to America." And she said, "No, we don't have a visa for Spain." He said, "Well, if you get caught, you're going to get killed. And if you stay here, you're going to get killed."
Yeah.
So I came home, and my school ran a summer camp. And in those days, we didn't have the backpacks, the lightweight. I had a little heavy suitcase. And it was a hot day. And I remember I came home, and our landlady opened the front door. And you're like a kid, this is so heavy, and blah. And she looked at me and said, "You're never going to have to carry that suitcase again." I says, "What do you mean? I'm going to camp tomorrow." She says, "No, you're not." And I ran upstairs and my parents were packing. And we left that same night. We each had one little suitcase. So you imagine what you can put in there. And we went to Munich. And I have so many questions now. But when you're 9 years old and this is your life and you don't see any hysterics, everything is calm, you don't worry, you're not aware of it. How did they know there was one hotel in Munich where Jews could stay? How did they find that out right away? How did they know how to find the Spanish, because the embassy was closed, the ambassador? So all I know, we checked in a hotel and I took my first elevator ride. And they spared me all the, but somehow they got the visa. How? I have so many questions, but there's nobody left to answer.
Yeah.
And your dad had gone before.
Well, this was, when we got to, after we got our visa for Spain, every morning we took our suitcase and went to the airport. And if there was no military personnel, no Nazi, no Germans, Gentile people, it didn't all had seats. If there were seats left over, then they would assign to a Jewish family.
Okay.
And this kept up for a couple of weeks. Where my parents got the money from, I don't know, because the house, everything was taken away from us. But again, it wasn't discussed in front of me. And I was a child.
Yeah.
And at one point, my father began to crack. Can you imagine going back and forth every day?
Yeah.
He says, we're never going to get out of here. I'm leaving, going back. We're going back to Frankfurt. This is ridiculous. And my mother persevered, because if he had gone back, he would have gotten killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, when we were at the airport, my mother persevered, mm-hmm. and one day there was one seat available on the plane, not even room for the suitcase, and she insisted that my father take it.
Yeah.
So we went back and forth. My mother was so strong that one day she said to me, if we don't get on the plane tomorrow, I'm going to take you shopping. She didn't look very Jewish, and I guess I didn't. And she said, you can have anything you want. Now, what kid doesn't like the... I said, I want a permanent. I don't know where that came from. Next day, I got a permanent, and I got the belt I had. There was an umbrella that I saw, a red leather case, and I got that. And in the meantime, every morning back and forth, and one day my mother took a tremendous chance and put the equivalent of $100 bill in the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked the agent, please check it. You know, we're coming so often, I want to make sure that when there's a seat, that it's still valid. She got the ticket back without the money. If he had been a Nazi, he wouldn't be here again. And the next day, she and I were on the plane to Spain.
Okay.
And we were on our way in Madrid. I have no clue. There was no internet at the time. There was a telegram at the airport in Munich, in Madrid, that my father had gone on to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, So we got, how we could do that, get back on the plane, say, we want to get off on the next stop. I was this innocent kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we caught up. And again, how did they find the Spanish consul? Because the consulate was closed. The war was on.
Mm.
But we did manage. They got the visa to come to the States. And we had to take a train cross-country in Spain. I think it left from Seville, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And it was a freighter. It was a coal ship that had been converted. And they had accommodations for 28 people. And we were 1,200.
Yeah.
The one bunk above the other, and the men were separated from the women. So in order for the women to get to the bathroom, we had to walk all across the ship. There was only one,
Yeah.
And it took over 4 weeks to come here.
Gosh.
And wherever we docked, we couldn't get into the port because there was always sickness. There was a hygiene problem. There was a food shortage. And so the yellow flag, that meant there's sickness abroad. You could... we couldn't. So what they did, we were allowed each $10 to take out. I don't know where they got that from either.
Yeah.
And then vendors would come on board to sell you fast food, like drinks and fruit. But $10 doesn't last 4 weeks. So,
yeah.
You know. But we made it.
Okay. And so how did your life change from moving to the U.S. at such a young age?
It was night and day.
Mm-hmm.
After we were in New York for 3 days, I had to go to school. And they put me in the first grade and said, when you learn English, you move up. And boy, did I learn English. And I was this only child where nothing was ever good enough, And now here we have no money. And your children outgrow their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no money to buy. So I had to wear second. People, organizations sometimes donated clothes, which didn't fit and were ugly. And most of them were party dresses. And when you're a refugee kid, you live in one room, with your pet. You don't need party dresses, but you manage.
Okay. So, in general, what would you like others to learn from the situation, in particular, like younger students? What would you like others to learn from the situation, especially like younger students?
That hopefully this never ever happens again. And I would like children to have a childhood where they're not burdened. Children should be innocent. They shouldn't have to be burdened with things like that. And hopefully, but we haven't learned very much yet, have we?
No. And do you think that the Holocaust could have been prevented?
I honestly don't know. It's hindsight is always better than foresight. If, but once Hitler was in, and I think to some extent it's still going on, and.
And what are some traditions that you keep alive in your family that help you celebrate your ancestry?
Scott, what do? We don't forget?
We don't forget. We celebrate the holidays as, you know, together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like we did, when I was a little girl. And we try to help out where needed, especially your Uncle Scott. And you appreciate what you have so much more, and you don't take it for granted. And you don't, once you have been hungry, you don't waste food. When we came here, my mother promised if we get out safe, she will always fast on November 10th, Crystal Night.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter if she was working or not, she wouldn't even drink a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived with us, and if I threw out a piece of old bread, she had a fit. She says, if my parents would have had that, they wouldn't have starved to death in the concentration camp. So you learn the important things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to live by those accordingly.
Okay. And then my last question is there anything else that you would like to add, like any comments or just any details?
No, I'm just so very grateful, that my life turned around when I got here, and I think I'm the luckiest Oma in the world.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now you get 2 A's, right?